What is this?
This is your boy Posty.
Oh, this is Post. Okay, he will be doing the pregame of the World Cup final, I believe.
Is it?
On Sunday?
Well, Wiggy declared he's the halftime show for the Super Bowl this morning. Our man Wiggy, Jermaine and Eastie, who called yesterday.
Of course, in defense of Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pies.
Yes, he said he's got a premonition it's going to be Post Malone.
I could see that.
Ah, man, not big enough.
Really? Oh, that's a shot at this.
Post is pretty big.
No, he's big, but I don't know. I don't see him being big enough for the Super Bowl. I just see there being about five or six other artists that you can immediately just go, yeah.
You don't think he's bigger than Maroon 5?
Well, that may be a good point. But Maroon 5, I would argue, probably had been around longer. Like, they had bigger longevity. So, I mean, you could say that people who were 20 years older than the average, you know, Post Malone fan knew who Maroon 5 was.
Yeah, but The Weeknd's probably even younger than Post Malone.
But The Weeknd is enormous. Like, The Weeknd, like, if you look at, like, the streaming numbers on Spotify.
I think Post might have them. Let's look into
The Weeknd.
This.
Okay, well, that's actually a good thing to look up, because I know that The Weeknd has like a handful of songs that are in the nine digits. They're like over like 100 million streams, I believe. So
I see Metallica.
Well, yeah, Metallica should definitely do the.
There was some speculation about it last year, maybe to give him gave him an idea.
But the thing is the NFL doesn't need Metallica's audience. Like they do a halftime show to get people who don't normally watch football to watch the game. They want to get the biggest audience ever, so they get people that get, you know, they appeal to women, they appeal to, you know, like a dance crowd. They don't appear to a rock crowd. A rock crowd, they don't need that. They're already watching the game. Yes, it is.
I can admit when I'm wrong. So quick Spotify search. Post Malone, 61.4 million monthly listeners. The Weeknd, 113.7 million monthly listeners.
Yeah. The Weeknd, it's really understated how massive that guy is. It's pretty wild. So when he did the Super Bowl, you're like, all right, it's because he's literally one of the most listened to artists in the entire world, I guess. Or at least, what, I don't know, Spotify International, or is it just America? I don't know. All right. So Jason Tatum was on the red carpet yesterday, and Ted made a great comment. He's like, you wearing a tank top?
No, bro. What's up with that, man?
Why don't you wear more tank tops, Ted? I mean, you got to let those guns fly, man.
I don't know, dude. It's kind of, it's a little.
It's too showy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Ted thinks you should get dressed up to take a plane, though.
You're very classy.
You're like my dad. My dad always, wherever he was going, he had to make sure he was dressed up.
I have a philosophy on that, so I try and, you know, look as good as I can when I can. But I don't know. Come on, tank top.
Right.
Oh, a tank top.
It's probably like an $8,000 tank top.
I know it is, but
Jaylen Brown wouldn't have done this. He wouldn't have been this disrespectful.
He would.
But you ran him out of town based on a stats article. Oh man, it just like turned you against him.
I find these comments from Jason Tatum though to be, I don't know, I think interesting. I'll be curious to get your thoughts on it.
Sure. Let's take a listen. This is last night on the red carpet. Jason Tatum in a tank top talking to ESPN.
If I'm being transparent, it's weird.
Yeah.
Right. I've been on the Celtics for 9 years, and he was my teammate. Every single one of those. You understand throughout, you know, the course of a career that the NBA is a business and people change teams and change coaches and front office. But it doesn't make it any easier. There's just a human element of it that you feel those emotions. The city feels those emotions. But there's also a side of, like, we have to welcome our new teammates in with open arms, and we still have to attack the new season.
Yeah.
So there's like a balance, but it's weird.
Okay, if you would have typed into ChatGPT, what is the exact perfect thing to say if a reporter asks you what you think of Jaylen Brown no longer being on the Celtics, that would word for word be what it was.
I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you guys thought that, and you do, Rich. I'd be curious what you thought, but that was the most perfect kind of, you know, I don't know, he was respectful to his former teammate, but also, you know, respectful to his incoming I just thought that was, you know, maybe a corporate answer, but it was, to me, the perfect answer considering all the hype that's been going on with these two.
It was not the perfect answer to quell any rumors that he wanted him out, that Tatum ordered the code red, and that's the reason Jaylen Brown got traded for schlock. Like, I mean, don't you listen to that and think, again, like the Times New Roman Instagram post, these guys didn't have a relationship. In fact, it probably bordered on Tatum asked to get rid of him.
I'm not sure I would surmise that just by listening to that comment.
He pivoted to the new team in 19 seconds. I mean, he said nothing. He said it's weird. There was no love language at all there. I mean, you're a romance novel guy.
Big love language guy.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he could have maybe gone a little bit more into JB, but
it was again like, yes, we played together for 9 years. It's weird.
I thought it was better than that.
A little bit better than that. Yeah.
I believe I'm with you, Ken, on one thing. You know, his goodbye Instagram post was half-assed. I mean, especially when you compare it to the old one. Stiz did an amazing job.
Yes, he did.
Digging up, you know, his Tatum's goodbye letters and posts to Mark Smart, Robert Williams. I mean, it was truly really funny, the stark contrast between that and Jaylen Brown's. But I think now he's saying everything exactly the way that he needs to. And I do like the fact that he goes, and along with that, you know, I am also excited for the new chapter with the new guys here. Like, you know what he's doing? He's acting like a leader. He's acting like a team leader. He's trying to unify the team that he's got. And he's also trying to cause as little drama as possible.
Well, he caused drama. First Take did a segment on it today. They had Perk and Windy up there, your guy Windhorst, talking about these lame comments and, again, the lack of relationship.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And Perk was like, here's more proof that they hated each other, basically, to paraphrase.
That's a little, to me, that's a reach. Yeah. I think those comments were perfectly, I just thought they were diplomatic. I thought they were right down the middle.
We've seen that. You hate Jaylen.
Okay, what was he supposed to say? Like, honestly, like, what did you want him to say?
Anything beyond it was weird. I mean, give me some adjective that encapsulates 9 years and a championship.
Dude, that is weird. Like, it's really weird. This is the first time in my professional career he's not on my team. That's weird.
Yeah. And I think in the context, too, Ken, of what Jaylen said about this being his favorite season after the season is, I mean, what do you expect JT to do when, you know, JB's saying that about the season that you didn't even play in?
Well, okay, but then that's just admitting they had a problem. And that's admitting there was something more to the story. Because, again, we keep going back to there has to be more we don't know. You don't trade a guy for Paul George, broken down Paul George, in his prime. Unless there's something going on. It's either economics or Ted's right and it's stats and he actually stinks and we can't believe our own eyes.
For the record, I think there was something going on. I'm just like if you were to say what is a good response for Jason Tatum in his first comments since the trade, what would you want it to be? That is what I'd want it to be.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean something. There wasn't issues behind the scenes. We know there were.
We also don't mean, you know, I think Ted and I are on the same page here. It also doesn't mean that 14 people didn't write that. And 14 people didn't sit down and go, hey, man, you're going to be asked this. Mm-hmm. Let's memorize this and have it ready to go. And he did it. He just said exactly, if you want to make sure you squash any kind of drama and that, you know, the minimum amount that can be read into your comments as being negative or one thing or the other, that was perfectly scripted. Now, of course, you're going to have Kendrick Perkins, you know, who speaks in absolutes. Everything's an absolute with him. And Windhorst, who's always all about the drums. So they obviously are like two guys that are just, you know they're trying to get clicks. They're trying to get ratings. It's with Tatum, it's dead. Jaylen might keep talking, but Tatum is doing this right. If he wants people to stop talking about it, stop asking about it, trying to draw things of it, he's doing the best he can on his end to kill the talk.
This will continue all season through the playoffs and up until if they meet in the playoffs or if Tatum's like eliminated sooner than Jaylen did or after, we are still going to be asking why Jaylen Brown is not on the team. This is going to be a year-long thing. This did nothing to quell rumors that Tatum was involved. Let me ask you this first. Do you think Tatum could have stopped the Jaylen Brown trade if he wanted to? True or false?
Man, I don't know. Now I'm starting to think that no.
Oh, my God.
I think he could have, yes.
The green teamers are working on you.
If he really felt in his heart of hearts that, I think he could have.
Maybe he could.
Now, part two for you.
Yeah.
Do you think he forced the trade?
No.
I do not.
Okay, Stiz, you're an expert in the body language department here, what do we call the Instagram evaluations? It's more the social media.
Sure.
I don't think he forced the trade. I do not think he went to Brad and said, look, I'm done playing with this guy. But I do think there was no love lost, and I do think if he really wanted him on that team, he would have went to Brad and said something. Because you don't want your star player disgruntled.
Let's go to Ryan on line one. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Ken, I love you, man. I really do.
There's a butt here.
Do you want it to be like a Britney Spears thing? Leave Jaylen alone. Oh my God, please stop. Oh my God, I can't believe that he got traded. He was my best friend. Like, what do you want him to say?
If you win a world championship with somebody, and on a team, by the way, that we talked about as the most impressive team of the last 8 or 9 years in the NBA, right? We did our rankings, so we said that Celtics team, their run bests anybody. Better than even the Knicks this year. I think we had them second or third. I would expect that the players that were there have a bond forever that is unified. Ted, you still get together with guys you want a title
with. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Now we have Tatum weeks after.
Not on a red carpet.
Oh, my God. These two are never getting together. He wouldn't go on his Twitch stream.
All right. So there are some people who agree with you. There are. And they are. They work. They're talking heads, and they're professionals. The majority, yes. But you're getting a lot of hate on the old text machine. But you know what? Let's get some people who actually agree with you. People who are paid to give their opinions. We will get to that right after this.
Somebody cutting onions. I'm crying over here. We're gonna miss you.
I'm sorry, Greg. You cannot call LeBron James a raging narcissist at the same time as saying that we're gonna replay that not even 2 hours after Mego gives you your flowers.
Yeah, I mean, she was gonna get to everything you've done for her, but that's later. She didn't get to that part of it.
That's at 10:02.
That's at 10:02. Really enjoyed working with Curtis.
I'm still trying to get Curtis to be friends with my one friend, Alaska.
I know.
Their kids go to the same school.
Jeez, we're going to be playing that at 8:30, right, too? I mean, right, my God.
Right. Well, we're going to miss you, but we'll see you here and there. As
hopefully.
They say. Yes.
I'll be around. Yes, I still work here.
All right. We were in the middle of They Said It. What is next, Shine?
Well, Mark Spears is on ESPN, Greg, talking about the relationship between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and why Jaylen Brown may have felt disrespected, as Wiggy has tried to point out multiple times. We can hear from Mark Spears.
Well, I'll say this on it. I hear they were cool. They were definitely cool. But if you look at what the Celtics have been doing for the last couple years, they favored Jason over Jaylen. And Jason wasn't asking for this. This is something that they just did. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, Jason has some friends that are hired by the team. You know, Jaylen doesn't. When Jaylen was hurt, Jason was hurt, Jaylen was in the starting five, and they announced him last. As soon as Jason came back, that changed, right? When you got Jaylen got the East MVP, he got the MVP of the finals, and then when it's time to raise the banner, who addresses the team? It's Jason. And I'm not saying Jason asked for any of this, but the Celtics made Jason at their favorite child. You always heard Jaylen and trade rumors. And when the team was in the midst of being sold, when it was first being sold, and you started hearing that they had to get rid of one of the two stars, it was always Jaylen's name that came up. Mm. So I do feel like I'm hearing that in a lot of ways, like, Jaylen probably felt like Jason was the favorite.
I mean, it's not surprising, really, if that's what was going on. The Bulls favored Michael Jordan over Scottie Pippen. The Celtics favored Larry Bird. I mean, I isn't Jason Tatum, don't we all believe he's the more talented of the two of them?
He's a 5-time All-NBA player, and 4 times that was a first team. That means that 4 times in his career so far, he's been identified as one of the top 5 players in the entire league. Like, it just, I know that they had a great tandem and that they were one of the best, if not the best duo in the league. But there is a difference between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And there has been. And that's not to discredit Jaylen Brown, but when you have to choose one, you're going to choose the guy who has more accolades and just a higher ceiling.
Yeah, I feel like what Jaylen has done in talking to his surrogates and the build up to the trade and then after the trade is explain why the Celtics had to do it. Like, I think he believes himself to be defending his honor and legacy, but all he's doing is making it clear to those that may be on the fence why it was so necessary to make the trade when the team did.
Well, don't you think he believes that he's a better two-way player than Jason Tatum is?
Yeah, and it's probably that kind of belief and confidence that gets him to a point where he improves every year. When he got the Supermax contract, in the moment, I said on the radio, he's never going to have a season as good as he did when he earned the Supermax contract, when he was all NBA that year. I said, this is probably you're paying for that version of Jaylen Brown. I was wrong. He just had another season where he was way better than he was in the year that he had the Supermax contract. So don't count Jaylen out, because he gets better every year and he continues to prove people wrong. But Jason Tatum is still the player that I would choose if I were the Celtics.
But, Greg, I would say you look at what they did last year. We don't know what the Celtics will be with just Tatum for a complete season and not Jaylen Brown. We know what they were, and that was a team that overachieved. So
in the regular season.
Right. And I would say that when you look at...
Well, they didn't necessarily overachieve against good teams.
Right.
They were really... When you dig into the season,
they
were really good against teams that were tanking.
But nobody in the moment said that. When they were the two or three seed in the East, we all said that Jaylen Brown had a spectacular season, and he really was vindicated. So if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm that elite of an athlete, I have the same feelings. I just don't think he's doing himself a service by continuing to create this chasm between he and the organization where he's saying that he was never the most loved son. Well, okay, you yourself said you weren't better than Jason Tatum. The organization believes Tatum to be the better player, as do you, so that's what happens. That's the guy that gets the mic on opening night. I don't know why that's an issue.
I mean, also, the description of the things that might have bothered him is pretty specific. You know? So I wonder where it came from.
This isn't just someone from the outside making basketball judgments?
I mean, you're talking about when he was, the order in which he was announced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Could you imagine behind the scenes? Jason Tatum, I don't think he hates Jaylen Brown, obviously.
No.
But,
I don't think he cares that much.
I think it's just, this headache is gone. I don't have to deal with, oh, no, am I going to be... Is Jaylen going to be sneering at me because I got handed the microphone on opening night to welcome the fans?
That's
so weird.
At the same time, though, look, I know people will look back on this era of the Jays and say they should have won more. They only got to two finals and they only won one of them. For them being together 9 years, they should have won more. But on the flip side, for 9 years, if this kind of tension behind the scenes was there, they were pretty functional together. They did a lot together. They didn't win a ton of championships. They got the one, and you can't take that away from them. A lot of duos don't stay together for 9 years when there's that much of what it sounds like from Jaylen Brown's camp, if you think that's where this is coming from, that much of a little rivalry.
Yeah.
And I think it's due in large part to how different they were. As similar as their games may be, they're both, wings, whatever. But, I feel like Jaylen and Jason were so polar opposites that it actually served, you know what I'm saying? In a weird way, it's like they were able to coexist because they weren't interested in the same things. Like Jason Tatum, I don't think, sits back and is like, how many times did Missoula credit me after the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like in my family when I see other siblings who are very competitive with each other. And I'm like, well, my sister's a doctor, so I'm just not, we're just doing different stuff, right. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you're writing for WEI.com.
She may be the golden child.
Does she work with Terp? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of eyeballs on that, I'm telling you.
We're cut from two
You're writing
worlds.
For Bradfo at WEI.com. Do you ever tell her that? Right. That's a flex.
You're covering Dr.
J. Oh, you're saving lives? Okay. You work in the NICU? That's important to people.
Well, I got bad news for him. If LeBron goes to the Sixers, he's going to be announced fourth or fifth.
Oh, my God.
Fourth or fifth. He's not going to be at the top of the announcement lineup.
Well, we don't think he's happy about being with the Sixers, right?
I mean... He was nixing every other trade, so I mean,
well,
he was out there.
He didn't want to go to Brooklyn, and he didn't want to go to Portland. I don't think he wanted to go to Philly because I think he wanted his own team.
He was telling Milwaukee he wasn't going to re-sign with him. I mean, he was telling everybody who might be interested that he wasn't going to stay there. So
I mean, that's a crap sandwich, though. Philly or Milwaukee? I'd rather be kicked in the nuts.
Yeah. All right, more of They Said It coming up next. We are going to get to your Hill Notes at the end of the show, so you can leave one at any time this morning on the Odyssey app, and you will see the microphone that is there when you get to the app, and share with us your thoughts on anything, whether it is something that we have discussed, something we have not discussed on this morning's show so far.
Ordway has still not recovered from that Sully from Godsmack coming in the first week of the show on EEI.
You remember that?
Oh, my God. You would have thought you brought in the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, we started the new show here, and Sully from Godsmack said, hey, I love sports. I'd love to come on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
And had him on, and you would have thought some people's heads were going to explode around here.
Right.
They're like, who is this Sully person?
Yeah, well,
Celebrities, I mean, and entertainers and musicians and actors, they all love sports and some want to talk about them.
You love musicians. Oh. You are obsessed with musicians.
Them and actors. I could talk to them all day long.
Yeah. Now, you're off tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I am off tomorrow.
What are you
I'm
doing?
Off tomorrow, like, Monday.
A vacation? Going anywhere?
No, I had...
Unable to secure a complimentary room somewhere?
Yeah. Believe me, I tried down in Newport and no, I wasn't able to do it. So
couldn't get the Trident in? Couldn't knock them for a room?
No, believe me, I hit them up. I think it's like in August, so. Okay. No, but I think I'm going to head down to Holbrook to get with my coach for my competitive shoot and get back out there. Man, I love it.
Is there a league that you're going to join, or how does
there
it work?
There are multiple leagues that are multiple, like.
Is it like pickleball? Like,
but just a little more lethal.
Yeah. No, it's not lethal because you're shooting at targets, right? Yeah. So there are multiple leagues, like it's like the USPA or something like that. And then there are different, like, leagues and competitions you can join. And then maybe I get sponsored. I get one of the shirts. I'm hoping SIG sponsors me.
Yeah.
And I'm a team guy, and I'm out there. Huh. So, yeah, there are multiple things that I can, but I'm with my coach right now, Joe, who does a lot of training with me, teaching me all the techniques that I'm going to need.
Missoula?
No. Oh. From Outer
Limits. Is shooting a sport?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Because you have to, I'm talking about.
Michael Phelps, not an athlete.
Two gun is, because you have to run around and move around. You got to get low. You got to get high. You got to get down on the ground. So there's a lot of movement
to
that.
So if you do it, it's a sport, basically, is the rule.
Well, have you seen these guys and girls? Tremendous athletes. Being able to sit in a car, let off a few rounds, and then jump out a window and then jump over the car? Athletic. That takes a lot of athleticism. I'd like to see somebody, I'd love to see Michael Phelps do that.
I'd love to see you do what Michael Phelps did.
Yeah, I could swim.
Okay, win 12 golds.
Right. I mean, that's different. But I could definitely swim.
I think Michael Phelps could shoot better than you could swim.
No way. He doesn't stand a chance in hell. And I've met Michael Phelps before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brag of the week.
Brag of the week. All right. Chai, let's get going with it, please.
They said it. It's time for
They Said It.
They Said It.
You know, some of these rats around here.
We score 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
Duval.
Humbly, one of the best basketball players in the world.
They Said It.
The Greg Hill Show.
They Said It is presented by Catches Law. And at Catches, they are ready to help if you have been injured at work, injured at a business. You need representation and somebody to be there during one of your toughest moments. Just go to catcheslaw.com. That's Catches with a K at catcheslaw.com. All right. What are we hearing first today, Shine?
Well, Greg, let's hear first from Jason Tatum. He was at the ESPYs last night rocking like a nice green tank top.
What in the world was that?
Yeah, he was really showing off those biceps there, Curtis.
Don't be jealous, Curtis.
Oh, God. It's okay. We can mock his outfit, Mego.
His outfit was weird. It's exceptional physique. But
the green teamer is triggered.
He has had great style while he was injured. He has not been.
Usually he's a,
Wiggy, you agree, right?
No, usually JT style is definitely one of the top.
We got Mego Scalabrine in here.
Well, Jason Tatum was asked about Jaylen Brown being traded to the 76ers, and here is what Tatum said.
If I'm being transparent, it's weird.
Yeah.
Right? I've been on the Celtics for 9 years, and he was my teammate every single one of those. You understand throughout, you know, the course of a career that the NBA is a business, and people change teams and change coaches and front office, but it doesn't make it any easier. There's still a human element of it that you feel those emotions. The city feels those emotions. But there's also a side of, like, we have to welcome our new teammates in with open arms, and we still have to attack the new season.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a balance, but it's weird.
So the emotion that he's feeling is not sadness, not frustration. It's weirdness.
If anybody says, I'm going to be transparent, what they're saying next is absolutely not.
It's weird.
Then he's like, turn the page. On to the next.
Yeah.
We're going to... It's weird, but we're going to move on. We are going to move on.
He's going to have a ton. You know, I talked about Drake May and how much, you know, pressure, and not necessarily pressure being the right word, but how many eyes are going to be on Drake May this year.
It's weird.
There are going to be a ton.
It's weird?
There are going to be a ton of eyes on him
We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
We talked about I think Curtis and I believe the – well, I don't remember. I don't want to speak for Curtis. I think there's more pressure on Joe Mazzulla when it comes to this season than there is Jason Tatum.
It's weird.
It's weird.
No, true. I agree with that.
But Wiggy agreed on that.
But I also believe that Tatum, even though he has the injury excuse, there are going to be a lot of people who don't look at that as being an excuse, right?
I love it. I think it's going to be more about his leadership, Wiggy, because I think, if anything, people are going to look at what Jaylen Brown did with the team last year when Jason was out and say, well, he really brought those young guys along, and that team had an identity.
You think it's going to be? I think it's about how does he play?
I think people will give Tatum some wiggle room on some
it's weird
on his numbers, because they'll say he's still coming back from that Achilles, mm-hmm. but they want to see the team have a certain amount of fight and identity.
How about it's devastating? My best friend's gone. My teammate.
Yeah, but that's not his best friend.
That would be fake.
Yeah, that would completely be not transparent.
It's weird.
It is weird. I would agree.
Yeah, because I could see that.
Curtis, in the Twitch chat, somebody says, Curtis, it is weird. What should he have said?
It's not weird. It was the worst kept secret for months that he was getting traded. Like, I don't know. I would say it's sad.
You got to understand, they're not like, if you weren't friends with somebody like that and you just had a working relationship and that person left, you wouldn't be like, well, it's sad or
Ken left, I said it was weird.
But it's weird.
If I were him, I would have said, I think this is going to be my favorite season ever.
That would have been epic.
Oh,
that's
classless.
That's what I would have said.
I mean, all right.
I got no issues. We are going to get to. We're going to get to more of They Said It next. Including Steph Curry, who has shared what his pitch to LeBron was. So that is coming up next.
He's on the clock. It's ticking to prove that he's that guy. If Jaylen Brown could take the team to as many wins as he did a year ago, and he was only one and done, but that was with Tatum in the postseason outside of Game 7. If that's what Jaylen Brown can do, then Tatum does have a prove-it factor this year without Jaylen Brown, and I would argue more help than Jaylen had last year. Mm-hmm. You can argue the East is tougher. Fine, call it a wash. Tatum has more help. The East is tougher. I think he's on the clock to prove that he can outperform what Jaylen Brown did a year ago. Never mind outperform what Jaylen is going to do this year in Philly, whatever that is.
Although, as good as the season Jaylen Brown had, the way that it ended and where it ended, I feel like it's actually a low bar that he kind of left behind. Like, Jaylen Brown was second team All-NBA. That's great. Second seed in the East with not a ton of talent. That's impressive. I'm not trying to take that away from Brown. Trust me, I was screaming about Brown being traded. I still hate the trade. But if Jason Tatum wins one playoff round, he had a better overall season than Brown. And even that's not something for, like, a parade.
I agree, but we can't really measure that until we get to April or May. So what I'm saying is the measuring stick in the meantime is going to be those regular season wins. I agree. If Tatum wins 48 regular season games,
but conference championship,
but he wins a round, then we'll throw out the regular season. Yeah. But during the regular season, I think that's a fair measuring stick for the two until we get to the postseason, which will really settle it.
But I also, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how many games he plays, right? We'll see what the Eastern Conference actually looks like. We assume they're going to have a healthy Giannis. I know some people are like, he's hurt. But like last year was sort of more the anomaly, and that was a bad team. So let's say you add a healthy Giannis, or you reinsert a healthy Giannis. You add Kawhi Leonard. You might get LeBron James. Like, the Eastern Conference, to me, is going to be a little bit better. So they could definitely lose a few more games than they did a year ago. But we'll see what it looks like, and we'll see like what seed they are. We'll see what opponent they get in the playoffs and all that. But he was, as Perk points out, he was in the MVP conversation. He finished sixth. You and I could have argued him up to maybe four or five. What's that going to look like for Tatum? You know, full year after the Achilles, he looked good when he did play. So is that going to be the same thing? Are we going to be like, they got their top five player back, and he looks just like that? Because he had a good streak going where he was first team All-NBA every year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put him with, like, you know, Jokic or Giannis or SGA in that category, but he was the next guy. He was like the top of tier two in the NBA. Is he there again? Or are we going to be looking at it and be like, he's closer to Donovan Mitchell, who's good. He's closer to, you know, some of these other guys who are really good. What grouping is he in? So, yeah, there's a lot on the line for Tatum, no doubt.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on our Jason Tatum discussion. Of course, Jaren Duran as well.
it's been past time to get him off the team.
Yeah.
But this is just another example today. Just when you thought the vibes were good and the Red Sox were about to start the second half, and baseball's back after a small chunk of time off. Red Sox are red hot, 9 in a row, 14-16, half game out of a playoff spot. It gets revealed that Duran wanted to beat up Tyler Milliken.
Correct.
And then when he had the opportunity, he actually just said, "You're mean," and left, or whatever. "You're the worst."
"You're the worst."
And left when he had an opportunity to do something about it. So he's soft on top of it.
Tough look all around.
But that's okay. You can jump in on that. It's Jones and Keefe live in the Ketches Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. Who's got more pressure this year, Tatum or Brown?
I think Tatum does. I think Tatum, because we all kind of view it as whether he pushed for it or not, I think he's very, very okay with the fact that Brown is gone. And all right, now all eyes are going to be on you. You're the guy. And what does that look like? I think if Brown, I don't know, maybe went to like a different team, or you can maybe make the argument there. It's just kind of, it's going to be interesting in Philly. Embiid's such a wild like X factor on how much he's going to play and everything else. But I think it is definitely on Tatum, because, you know, is this a championship team? I mean, Brad Stevens before the trade said it was a championship team, and then he makes this trade. And now you're like, you're the clear cut guy. You're like you've already been the face of the franchise, but now there's like not even a close second. Now there's not even like it was always like Tatum and Brown, but Tatum was always the first name. Now it's Tatum and the Celtics.
So I agree. I think it's Tatum. The Sixers are going to have more pressure on them than the Celtics.
Yeah.
As a team, but it's more pressure on Tatum. And here's why I would say that. Do you think Jaylen Brown wanted to leave the Celtics?
I don't either.
Do you think Tatum wanted Brown off the Celtics?
I think so.
I also do.
Yeah.
So Brown didn't get what he wanted. Tatum did.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more pressure on Tatum.
Yeah, I think so. Plus, if we all, not everybody, this isn't unanimous, but I think most people still acknowledge that he's the better player. And usually that's kind of where the pressure starts.
Yep.
Who's the best player in the league? Who's the best player on the team? Let's just go down that line. Those guys all have the most pressure. Like, they're expected to win. They're expected to go a little bit further. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to get to it, and I know the question was Brown or Tatum, but I would say Stevens, Chisholm, Mazzulla even. Tons of pressure on those guys, too, because like, they're the ones that kind of signed off. Not Mazzulla as much, but like those other two guys signed off and made the deal, and then Mazzulla already, after falling short and losing in the first round, like tons of pressure on those guys.
Mazzulla has pressure because if it doesn't work this year, he might be out of a job, or fighting professionally, whatever.
He might get a new job in the Octagon.
Text line: does JB have anything to prove?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. He definitely does. Yeah. Just not as much as Tatum.
But he also will have, I think, some built-in excuses. Like, from the outside, you'd be like, well, like, you put him in there with Maxie and Embiid, and who knows, maybe LeBron, how's that going
to
work?
Jaylen needs to prove he can coexist in a new environment.
Yeah.
Like, I would say it's more about, like, Jaylen being able to fit in than what he's going to prove on the court.
Probably start talking to Embiid.
No, I agree. And that's bad.
Yeah.
So Jaylen definitely has things to prove, but I would say less on the court. Like, he's going to go to maybe being the third option from being the first option. Yeah. Like, duh. The numbers are going
to
drop.
If Jaylen really wants to like boost the Twitch numbers, and who am I to give him suggestions? Have Embiid on. Be like, I haven't talked to Embiid since. And then like, ding dong. And then in walks Joel Embiid. People watch the heck out of that.
That'd be newsy too, because if Embiid actually went on his Twitch feed
before
something Tatum never did.
Yeah, sure.
Meanwhile, the Celtics, of course, did not want Paul George. And speaking of that,
they got him.
Top five Friday, Paul's and George's. It's a double top five Friday.
Two different lists.
In honor of the Celtics trade.
Yep.
They initially wanted Giannis.
That would have been better.
I agree. I didn't want Giannis. Mm. In fact, you hear some of his comments in Miami the other day where he's like, I'm a little scared. You see those comments?
No.
He's like,
scared of Miami?
Well, let me get the quotes.
He's buying a house. Chad Hunter Singer said he bought a house down there.
It's such a loser comment.
It would have really worked if he was here, wouldn't it?
Probably not.
Let me try to find
a lot of these big trades in the NBA don't work. Just ask every team that's brought in Kyrie and Harden and Durant recently.
I'll find the quotes. But let's get to Shams here what went wrong in the negotiations between the Celtics and the Bucks.
Does Giannis want 35% of the cap on his next extension?
Okay,
that's just a false report. Okay.
Yeah, and I assume there's a lot of those going around with anonymous sources.
The breakdown with the Giannis-Boston conversations was very simple. The Celtics did not want to give up Hugo Gonzalez and or Baylor Shireman and another draft asset when the Bucks asked for that.
Wow. I mean, we heard that, and you know, I guess I kind of believed it at the time, but we also didn't know exactly what it was. Was it like two more first and these two players? And like, so it was kind of speculated around, but we had the same reaction in real time. You don't make the Giannis deal because you want to hold on to Ugo. So you asked who there's more pressure on between Tatum and Brown. How about Ugo and Shireman?
Yeah, big
those guys better turn into all-star players. I mean, we don't know what Ugo's going to be. 19 years old, played in a bunch of games, but limited minutes, obviously. There were times, even in the playoff game, there would be times where you're like, oh, that's useful. That's pretty good. Is he going to really turn into anything that's like, oh, that made sense to stand in the way from a Giannis trade?
I doubt it.
Especially when you get Paul George.
I'm also a little suspect of, and I believe what Shams is being told, like, it makes me wonder who Shams is talking to. And it's like, oh, the extension had nothing to do with why they didn't bring in Giannis.
Yeah.
That's false reporting.
Yeah, true.
I'm like, oh, so he's another one of these that is trying to tell you that has nothing to do with finances. So, like, is he talking to Chisholm? Is he talking to ownership? And I wouldn't be surprised if Shams is, but whatever.
But, like, Baylor, Shireman's untradeable? That's what you're saying.
I believe Ugo and Shireman not being willing to include them did hurt the Celtics in these negotiations. It was not purely financial.
But that means they're untradeable.
Yeah, I mean,
because
good
if you wouldn't trade him for Paul George, I'm sorry, like,
for
you didn't need,
Giannis.
Right, no, but for Giannis.
Yeah.
It's one thing if, but no, my point is, like, if the Sixers were like, hey, we want them in the deal for Paul George, and you're like no,
not happening.
Doesn't mean they're not tradable, just means, like, we're not doing it for Paul George.
Right.
If you're not going to throw those guys into a Giannis
deal. It makes you wonder if the Spurs
they're untouchable.
If the Spurs were going to give you Wemby, would you be like, yeah, but we're not putting Ugo in the deal? Yeah,
Ugo's
it does make you wonder. That's fair. By the way, just to close the loop. Giannis did a sit down on his way out of Milwaukee, and he says, "I'm scared that the grass is not always greener."
Oh, that is
people
pretty deep.
Love me here. He was doing the interview in Milwaukee.
Got it.
People respect me here. I think they lost some of that over the years.
I would hope
people allow me to be myself here in the city, and I'm scared that I might never ever find that again.
Well, you know, kid at a new school, it could be scary. You know, don't you think? Like, that's a lot for a little guy. How old is he?
I'm trying to balance this where I don't want Giannis, but I also prefer him to what they got. So I'm trying to balance those two things. But
it's tough.
What a loser who won. I mean, talk about nailing it.
It's like you dodged one bullet, but then you took another. Like you jumped into one.
It's true. So you're stuck with now, Keith.
Yeah.
Paul George. We thought it'd be a good day to do not one, but two top five lists.
Yes.
Top five Pauls.
Right.
Top five Georges.
Makes sense.
Double top five Friday.
Great.
Groundbreaking moment here on Jones and Keith next.